Come on, tell him you love him this morning. Lord, I love you.
Lord, I love you.
Lord, I love you. Come on, tell him you lift him. I lift you, Lord. I lift you, Lord.
Lord, I lift you.
When he is lifted, he will draw all men unto himself.
Lord, I lift.
Come on, lift your hands if you will. Lord, I thank you.
Lord, I thank you.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I thank
glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise his name today.
Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you.
Lord, I adore you.
Lord, I adore you. I adore
you. Come on, this is worship.
I adore you.
Come on, come on.
I adore.
Come on, one last round. Lord, I thank you. Now come on, all over the church, give him the proper response to his goodness. Give him praise today. Come on, give him praise today. Give him praise today. Come on, give him praise this morning. Early this morning, God gave us new mercies. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to his name. Certainly God is good and he's worthy to be praised. He has navigated our niches and allowed us this privilege of being participatory in this place of praise once again. Certainly I thank God for your presence today. You're here because of the Spirit of God. And certainly we thank him for keeping us as we have spent time apart over the last 4 to 5 months. Listen, I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. There's no other place I'd rather be. Certainly, I thank God for all that he has done, all that he is doing, all he will do. I thank God for the committee and all of the volunteers who have led us up to this point. They have really been diligent, and they have left no stone unturned. And certainly we thank God for them. Come on, bless God for the Environmental Safety Committee. Amen. Amen. Signs are up. Sneeze guards. Listen, if you don't feel safe with all of that, I don't know what we can do for you. But thank God for their diligence. They came out on yesterday and finished up, and they're here out there in the hall making sure people are led in or they enter safely, and they will give us instructions as to how we will exit. This is our first morning. Just get this in your spirit. We will do this every Sunday until the Lord tells us different. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your prayers. And thank you for your participation. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. While you're turning there, I thank God for Reverend McCoy, presiding over our service this morning, and certainly to Eric, our minister of music, all of the musicians, and our praise team. Come on, bless God for them today. Amen. Come on, we can do better than that. Come on. They have blessed us. Thank God for these deacons who have devoted us. Thank you, brother, for getting the brethren together this morning. We have a rotation of our brothers. Some would be at 8 and some at 10:30. And I do thank God for Brother Eddie lining this all up. And listen, this is a huge undertaking. And it takes a lot of participation and a lot of planning. And so thank you for responding. Thank you for being here today. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I belong to God. That's what I want you to get today. I belong to God. You may be seated. I belong to God. Man before salvation was twofold. He was body and soul. But man after salvation became a trichotomy, threefold. He became body, soul, and spirit. My brothers and sisters, as blood bought, as people of God, not only do our souls and spirits belong to God, but our bodies belong to God. The body is a physical whole of an organism. When Paul speaks of the body, he is speaking of the complete makeup of a human being. My body as a whole belongs to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 says, "What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" And in, he says, "And you, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." The reason the Bible can boldly say that our bodies belong to God and don't belong to us, because in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And to bring clarity to the text, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." In verse 27, "So God created man in his image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." Listen, God is the reason we exist. I think I ought to say that again. God is the reason we exist, for he created us. Paul in Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 says, "For by him," pointing to God, "by him," pointing to God, "we were created." All things were created by God. Things that are in heaven and things that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Everything we own, everything we possess, were created by him and for him. Our entire being was created by him, for him. Therefore, with our minds, we ought to think about him. With our ears, we ought to listen to him. With our eyes, we ought to observe him. With our mouth, we ought to praise and thank him. With our arms, we ought to embrace him. With our hands, we ought to keep in touch with him. With our legs, we ought to run for him. And with our knees, we ought to bow down. And with our feet, we ought to stand firm in an upright position for him. My brothers and sisters, I came to serve us. No. Notice that we belong to God. Paul starts this chapter, chapter 12 of Romans, by saying, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. The word beseech means to call near. It means to call forth, to comfort, to invite. I beseech you, I invite you, I encourage you to come to Christ. Paul's theme in this book is salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And his chief subject is the doctrine of justification by faith or by grace. Romans 3:23 tells us that we all have sinned and come short of the glory. But thanks be to God that we are short of glory, but he gives us sufficient grace. Y'all just missed that. We come short of his glory, but he gives us sufficient grace. In verse 23, Paul shows us sin. But in verse 24, Paul shows us the Savior. My brothers and sisters, it's Jesus who takes us, redeems us, and then stamps us just before God. Justification leads to a new standing before God. It is God providing us the incentive to live a holy life for him. Paul says, I beseech you. Therefore, I invite you, I encourage you to live your life as a living sacrifice. Oh, my brothers and sisters, when you think about what Paul is saying and why Paul is saying it, oh, he says that the mercies of God, he beseech us by the mercies of God. He beseech us by the mercies of God. Aren't you glad that it's not mercy? It's mercies. Plural. By the mercies of God. The mercies of God are the overflowing and overwhelming, overtaking, overlapping, overjoyed, and they are overall. In other words, God's mercies are his expression or exercise, pity or his compassion toward us. Oh, is God not doing to us what he ought to do to us? And the last time, listen, I checked the record, all of us could have, should have been dead, sleeping in our graves. But God woke us up this morning and started us on a new day. Is there anybody in the room thanking God for a new day? He didn't have to do it, but he did. Are you in here? Are you thanking God not only for a new day, but a portion of health and strength? He didn't have to do it, but he did. He put
sight in your eyes. He put taste in your mouth. He put touch in your hands. He put a strut in your legs. And he put clapping in your hands. He didn't have to do it, but he did. Mercies. Overlapping, overtaking, overjoyed, and over all, his exercise pity, or his compassion toward us. Paul says to the church at Rome, we are called and invited to present our bodies as living sacrifices because of his mercies. Are y'all here with me? And he says, if you're going to do this, there are two things you have to understand. The first is we must understand the call of God. God is calling us to present ourselves to him. Listen, let me help you. No one else can present you. God is calling us to present ourselves to him. He says we ought to be a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. Since Jesus offered himself as the atonement for our sins, our sacrifice is to acknowledge and honor God. The presenting of our bodies to God shows the willingness to be a spiritual servant in the service of God. Living sacrifice. Since God, according to Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, is the living God, we ought to present our bodies as living sacrifices. Because Mark chapter 12 verse 27 says he is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. So first God says, be a living sacrifice. But he didn't leave us there. He says, be holy. That's not a denominational word. That's a Bible word, a biblical word. Sometimes when we start talking about living holy, we cringe and we get uneasy, because holiness is what God is and who God is. And the Bible tells us to be holy as God is holy. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 16, God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. The word holy means to be sacred or set apart. God doesn't desire that you and I be like the world. But his desire for us is that we be like him. Not only does God want us to be like him, but he also wants us to be obedient to him. Oh my God, help me preach this here. He wants us to be obedient. You remember Jesus in the garden of Gethsemane. He was wrestling over the cup. And he went to the Lord God three times, praying for the removal of the cup. And he come to the conclusion every time
not my will. I'm trying to help somebody. But thy will be done. And that's where we have to get to as a people of God. We have to push aside our will, not my will. But God, your will be done. We have to push aside our desires to satisfy the desires of God. He wants us to be living sacrifices, holy and acceptable. What does God accept? God accepts holiness and obedience. Acceptable unto God. Acceptable unto God. God receives willingly, and he rejoices when we devote ourselves to him.
That's right.
Acceptable. You may not be accepted by a lot of people. And that's all right.
Amen.
But you ought to know, you're accepted by the one that matters the most.
Amen.
I may not be the like of a lot of people.
Yes.
But when God Almighty,
yes,
who sits high and looks low, when he looks at my heart and he looks at how I'm trying to live my life for him, I may not be accepted by a lot of people, but I thank God that when God looks at me, I'm accepted. Is there anybody in here have stopped living to please people and you are living now to please God? Ought to have a witness. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. Listen, and listen, when you get to that point, you hold your head up, you straddle your shoulders and poke out your chest and know that if God be for you, he's more than the whole world against you. You can't live for people because people change. You can't satisfy people, because what satisfies people today may not satisfy them tomorrow. But thanks be to God, we serve a God who does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so I can live my life to please God. I can do what's acceptable unto God, which is reasonable, it's rational, it's intelligent and logical. It's rational because it shows that you have an understanding. It's intelligent, it shows a mental acuteness of or capacity of knowledge. It's logical because it's sound reasoning. And it's not just reasonable, but then it's a service. It's more than just showing up on a Sunday morning. It's waking up doing this every day. Y'all miss me. It's more than lifting your hands in a sanctuary. It's living with lifted hands every day. It's more than wearing a smile on Sunday morning. But it's wearing a smile every day. When you go to work and you're dealing with people you don't like and don't like you, it's still a smile on your face. It's reasonable. It's a service. It's not something we do occasionally. But it's what we do every day. He says we have to understand the call. That we are called to be living sacrifices. He calls for the body. But not only that, he says we must develop an undying commitment to God.
Verse 2 starts by saying, and be not conformed to this world, for you not to turn back to the world after accepting Christ is going to take genuine commitment. Commitment means to entrust or to confide in. In a sense, it means to be faithful while carrying out a duty. It reminds me of Jesus, of the man Jesus was talking to in Luke chapter 9, verse 62. The man said, Jesus, I follow you, but let me go bid them farewell, which are at my house. Jesus replied, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. To understand what Jesus was saying, you must have an understanding of Eastern plowing during Jesus' earthly ministry. An Eastern plow in Jesus' day had only one handle, and it had to be tightly gripped to keep the plowshare in the ground. The other hand was used to hold the rein while plowing forward. The plowman would have one hand on the plow, holding it in the ground, and the other hand on the rein, which was a long stick attached to the animal that was pulling the plow. And he would direct the animal with the long stick of the rein so he could cut it straight. They took pride in the fields, and their reputation depended on it. So the plowman wanted his field rolled straight, and so he would not look back. Because if he looked back, he would get off. He wouldn't look back. And that's what some people are doing. Spending life looking back. And when you look over the fields of their life, their roads are crooked. Do I have a witness? But Paul said, when you commit your life, when you get your mind straightened out, it'll straighten out your living. You'll stop looking back, and you'll keep on plowing and keep on moving forward. Brothers and sisters, my time is about up. But here it is. Our reputation is depending on it. So he said we need to change our minds. We need a renewing of our minds. That's why God give us weekly services, so that we can receive the word. And the word is new data. Because you can't renew with old data. You need new data. You need a word from the Lord. That's why he has allowed us to come in this morning, because we need our minds renewed. Notice he didn't say renewed one time, but he said renewing of the mind. Your mind has to be renovated and made like new. In other words, your mind has to be changed. Meaning the things you used to do, you don't have the intentions of doing it now, because your mind is renewed. The places you used to go, you don't desire to go to those places anymore, because your mind is renewed. And the people you used to hang out with, you don't desire to hang out with them anymore, because your mind has been renewed.
Now I have a new focus. I have a new goal. I'm out to prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of Almighty God. I'm not living for myself anymore. I'm living to satisfy God, because one of these old days I want to see God for myself. Is there anybody in the room this morning want to see God for yourself? You ought to stand on your feet and point at somebody who's 6 feet from you and say, "For God I live, and for God I die. I'm a living sacrifice for Almighty God. If Jesus died for me, I can live for him." Y'all do know when he died, don't you? Let me say that again. If he died for me, I can live for him. He died Friday on a hill called Calvary. He died until the moon dripped away in blood. He died until the sun refused to shine. He died until the earth reeled and rocked like a drunk man. He died until a centurion said, "He must be the Son of God." He died until the veil in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. Is there anybody in the room? No, he died. He died that Friday. They took his body down from the cross and put it in a borrowed tomb. And I thank God that the tomb was borrowed, because whatever you borrow, you got to give it back. Sunday morning, he didn't need it long. Sunday morning, he got out of that grave and gave the tomb back and lifted his hands and said, "All power, heaven and earth, is in my hands." I want to ask you one question this morning. As I go to the office, ain't the Lord alright? If he died for you, can you live for him? Let me ask that question one more time. If he died for you, can you live for him? Let me hear you say, "Yes, I can. Yes, I can. I can do it, because Jesus said I can do it. And Paul said I can do it, because he said I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I got the strength to live for Jesus. I got the spirit to live for Jesus. I got all I need to live for Jesus.
That's enough. I got to quit. He died for us. We can live for him. The doors of the house stands ajar. If you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and the pardon of your sins, you can today by simply accepting him as your personal Lord and Savior. He wants to be in. He wants to be in. He wants to be in the place of control, the place that orders you, leads you, and guides you. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, come. Come, he will receive you. If you can believe in your heart and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and confess him with your mouth,
The Bible says thou shalt be saved. Secondly, if you're here and you're backslidden, you need to be restored. And the Spirit of the Lord is moving up on your heart. Come, let us pray for you to restore you. Thirdly, if you're here and you need of a church home and the Lord has laid this church on your heart, come today. While you have time, yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not promised. You only have now. Bless you today. Listen, you can give today on your way out. There are boxes at the exits. We ask that you do that. And listen, if you're going to attend service next week, you have to register every week. You need to register. Registration will be open today at 3 p.m. and it will close Friday at 5 p.m. So make sure, if you plan to be in attendance on next week at 8 or at 10:30, registration is necessary. Listen, let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for what you have done in this place. What eyes have seen, our ears have heard, and our hearts have received. We pray now, Father, that you bless us in our going out as you have blessed us in our going coming in. We pray for every giver. We ask that you bless them in all facets of their life. We thank you for everyone that's here today and those that are on their way for the next service. Give us strength to preach your word, to challenge your people to live for you in these last and evil days. Father, we thank you, we love you. And we praise you. Father, we thank you for the glory that you have given unto us. That as we go from this place, people will see the glory and know that we belong to you. And I pray that our lives will be a witness, will be a living sacrifice. We climb on the altar. We say to you that we are yours and we are for your satisfaction. Now, Father, may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace. Be blessed today.
Take the mic with you. Take the mic with you.